Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
One thing I was thinking is, you know, Strava gives you the little awards where you get like,
oh, trophies, yeah, yeah,
trophy,
yeah,
things for your best effort, yeah, or whatever. I do like that it breaks it down so that you get them regularly. So it'll be like best, yeah, effort on diagonal path down through park or whatever, which is quite nice. But I hate that the only thing that it does that for is your...
Is your pace, is your speed.
Mm. Like, can they think of anything else? Like, that's the furthest you've ever gone. To be fair, they might do that. I can't remember.
They do that. Yes, they do that.
Okay, fair play. Glad that they do that. Love Strava, and we're really out here supporting them. Maybe to complete a bit of the puzzle, I'll tell you about Hell Run, because looking back, maybe I've been a little bit not 100%. I had the worst runner's trots of my life on my 4 miler on Friday.
Holly, have you got a poo story to tell us?
I have. I haven't got an actual shit myself in public story. But I know. I realised, I actually said to Doug the other day, I was like, oh, it's been 2 years since I shat myself in public. I haven't got another one of those.
Welcome to episode 184 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. Holly has had some ups and downs with her half marathon training, including an almost literally crappy run. So we have a lot to talk about with that. Half marathon training is not easy, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. In other news, we've decided we want to start a campaign to run more simply. We're both overwhelmed by all the information that's thrown at us on a daily basis on how to run better, what strength training to do, what to eat, and what to do for general fitness. What we want is a simplification of all that noise. How to run, how to train, how to get fitter in about 4 different moves max. So, who's with us and what's our manifesto going to be? Do pop along to womensrunning.co.uk and check out all the bits you get when you subscribe to us, because if you subscribe to Women's Running right now, you'll save 50% off the cover prize and you'll get a copy of our How to Run 5K guide absolutely free. Go to womensrunning.co.uk/bundle to get the deal.
But you said you've got loads and loads to talk about, right?
I did. Well, I want to update you on my training because I feel like a bit of a twat, because last time we spoke, I was specifically like, ask me. It's going really well.
Yeah.
And I've had my last 2 runs have been like, one was run and one was hell run.
Oh no.
I know. I'll tell you about the meh run first.
Yeah.
I'll build up the tension.
Let's do that. Yeah.
So yesterday I did a run. I was going to go out for 2.5 miles, but because of said hell run, which we'll discuss in a minute, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not going to be harsh on myself. I was struggling to even force myself to get out there. So I was like, I'll just do 2 and I'll see how it goes. And like, if I do more, then great. But I'll just try and get out there and do a bit. And I thought, this is why it wasn't actually too bad, this run, and I shouldn't care, but I did. I thought I was flying, and it was like by a minute per mile or whatever, by a minute, extra minute, the longest that any training run has been in a long time. And definitely the worst of my block so far. And I was just like, I wanted to talk about that first, because I was like, why does that happen sometimes? Why do you feel like you're absolutely flying?
Yeah.
And then it's so slow. I couldn't believe, I thought that there'd been a mistake.
Yeah. I have this a lot, and I have it with Garmin, where it will say, you've just done a tempo run. Like when I did the half marathon in Barcelona, it was like, tempo run. I was like, it really, really, really wasn't a tempo run. And then when I did like shorter runs that I thought were faster, it was like base training. And I went, how is that? And it's down to heart rate.
Is
it? Rather than the pace that you're going at, if that's the way that you're, so yeah.
But mine was pace based.
Right.
Like,
it
felt really fast. And then I looked at it and it said my like amount, my minutes per mile. And I was like, it's got to be a mistake. You know, sometimes on Strava, it's like when you're towards the end of a run, you might be getting a bit tired, or you're on a bit of elevation or something. You look and you go, bloody hell. But it turns out that's just the breakdown for that particular stretch that you're on.
Yes.
And then your average evens itself out and you go, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was happening. And then I was like, oh no, that is just my average for the whole run. Great. And then I thought there'd been a mistake. But then when I looked at my time it had taken me, I was like, no, yeah, that checks out.
What are you monitoring yourself on? Is it just on Strava or is it something else?
It's just on Strava.
Yeah.
I realized the other day can definitely have some discrepancies, because would you like to know what my, let me just find this for you.
Are you going to tell the world?
You know your best efforts.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to know what my fastest mile was?
Yeah.
6:58.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
I think that's very good. And I don't think that it's true. Because on exactly the same run, I did 1 kilometer in 2:55.
Bloody hell.
I did 1/2 mile in 2:36.
Hang on a minute. Were you driving?
I think it was when, and I did 400 meters in 1:29.
Shit.
So I think that it's when I, and then once you get up to 2 miles, 5K, 10K, it's showing my actual personal bests. I discovered that I think there is a bit of a discrepancy with, because my next best mile after that 6-minuter is just under 9, which is probably more likely if I've actually been like really pegging it. I think that it's sometimes it doesn't measure certain stretches where it can't get the GPS and then it like pings you forward. So they were all on the same run, those PBs. And I think it's all when I went through the 2 tunnels last.
Okay.
So I think it doesn't know and it slightly makes it up.
That does make sense.
I think that's what's gone on there. But yeah, I don't think anything like that has happened. I think it was just slow and I didn't understand why. But maybe to complete a bit of the puzzle, I'll tell you about Hell Run, because looking back, maybe I've been a little bit not 100%. I had the worst runner's trots of my life on on my 4-miler on Friday.
Holly, have you got a poo story to tell us?
I haven't got an actual shit myself in public story. But I know. Mm. I realized, I actually said to Doug the other day, I was like, oh, it's been 2 years since I shat myself in public. I haven't got another one of those. But I know. But it was really bad. I've actually got evidence because I sat on a bench and recorded myself because I was like, I might just do like a sort of heartfelt Insta story about this. And then it was so miserable that I was like, I can't subject everyone to that. But it was just horrible. I think, first of all, I ran at a really weird time of day that I never run at, because my Friday last week was really weird. I was doing normal work day, but Doug was working, he was working until 1 a.m. So he didn't go in until 1 p.m. and it was all a bit weird. So we had lunch together earlier than I probably would have done considering I'd already had breakfast, blah, blah, blah. I think I'd eaten too much food. I was going to go for my run before lunch, which is what I would normally do if I was going to run in the middle of the day. Sorry, boring. Mm-hmm. Let me cut to the chase. But basically, I didn't because I thought, oh, we'll eat together. We'll use up a HelloFresh. And nice. and then I realized that I wasn't going to have time to do it post work. So I was like, crap, okay, I'm just going to have to like work through and do a quick bash it out at like 3 p.m. or something when I can find a spare moment. Mm-hmm. So I did a random sort of skiving work, like weird time of the afternoon run where I just dropped everything and went for it. And I don't think I'd let myself digest my food enough. But also I wonder whether there was something a bit stomach flu-y going on before, because even before I went, I was having some slight gurglings that I was a bit like,
oh no,
oh, this feels a bit weird. But I was like, whatever, I just need to bash this out because I've got loads of stuff on. And obviously I was trying to cram it into a work day. So I was just like, let's just get on with it.
Yeah.
Half a mile in, I was like, oh my God, this really doesn't feel very good. I feel like I'm going to poo myself. Managed somehow to do the full four.
You did it.
I did. So I was really proud of myself because it sucked. I really thought I was going to shit. And I was like, what do people do? I was thinking back to your story about the leaves. I was like, what? I was thinking of every like pod squatter story we've ever had about having to do a wild poo. But yeah. I was running along the river path that goes down to the Loxbrook and stuff. So I was like, you get hit by a cyclist every 2 minutes. Like there's absolutely no privacy there. Yeah. So I was like, what am I going to do? Maybe I can dip in at the pub or something. And I was like, what can I do? And it was really bad. I managed to hold it together. I was still hoping that it was going to be, this was actually the worst bit. I was still hoping that it was going to be just the run, like just on the run, that I'd slightly turned things up, because you know, sometimes that can happen and then you get home and maybe you're a bit on the toilet, but you're fine after that. So I went to Tesco on my way back. Other supermarkets are available. And I was like, yes, I'm going to get some treats. I'm going to get myself a packet of Monster Munch and a Lucozade. And I got home, which was, you know, a thing in itself, because I had to go up the hill. That's why I sat in a bench in the park on the way and recorded a heartfelt Instagram story that never made it to Instagram because it was so miserable. And then eventually got in, shat my absolute guts out. Then tried to have a sip of my Lucozade. I managed 3 claws of my Monster Munch, and then I was running straight off to the toilet again, and it was really, really bad. And it was like all night long. All I could eat was plain baked potato. Was the only thing that I could like sort of keep in.
Oh no,
it was really bad. And like I still didn't feel 100%, like I didn't feel like a coffee the next morning. It was that like kind of level where I was still like, oh god,
that doesn't,
it wasn't until maybe lunchtime, just after lunch, that I was like able to kind of eat normal food again and feel normal.
That's not runner's trots. You've had something.
Yeah, that's not... So maybe I just am hard as nails because I ran 4 miles with a stomach flu.
You are hard as nails. I would never have done that.
I think I just panicked because I'm trying to not, because you know what I'm like with overthinking and talking myself out of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying at the moment to just go, just do it. And so I think I was just in that kind of mindset and I thought, oh, I'll feel better in a bit. And I didn't.
Oh my God.
I know.
No, it's awful. I mean, I think like when I used to get it quite a lot, and it's not stomach flu kind of stuff, but when I used to get runner's trots,
yeah,
it was. And I think this is true of like quite a few people. It's like when you start running, as opposed to when you're kind of quite, you're in the groove kind of thing. And yeah, like when I was starting to kind of build up my mileage when I was training for my first half marathon, I remember it happening quite a lot then. Not pooing myself in public or anything, but definitely I do have every time I go to, like, I'm going to say Twerton and Fork. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, I do.
Every time I run there.
Sorry, listener.
I have a Pavlov's dog kind of gut churn at that corner, because it happened. It's because at that point where I was living, that was about a mile away from home. And I do think there's a lot of kind of mental stuff that's going on with runner's trots kind of thing, that I would turn the corner, I'd know there was a mile off, and my guts would just go, nah, not hanging on.
Yeah.
And I would have to sort of walk home. Like, I couldn't run anymore, and I would have to kind of speed walk like an idiot along the Lower Bristol Road kind of thing to get home. And it was the most painful thing. And it's like, I got to hold in, you know, with the horrible kind of spasms and ugh, absolutely foul. But that would be like, when I had that, it would be as soon as I go into the loo, fine, all sorted.
I've had that before, where, like, again, it's been when I've been building up mileage and maybe I haven't run for a few months, or like the first time I did the Bath half, for example, where I hadn't run for my whole life. But it was like maybe when I started to get to like 7-8 miles, like starting to actually get to like where you're running for quite long periods of time, that would be when I would definitely have that feeling. Because I remember like going for a couple of them with Lex, and we were like, should we treat ourselves? Let's go get a little pan of chocolate. And then we would both be like, oh, okay, maybe not. I'll see you later. Just run home and then do the evacuation. And then agreed, everything would be absolutely fine. Maybe it would take me an hour all in all to recover from one of those runs where like I might need to just like sit gormlessly in the bath and sit on the loo for a bit, and then I'd be absolutely fine. Whereas, this really scared me, because I'd been feeling really strong in my training. It was 4 miles, which I'm absolutely not poo-pooing. It's that feels like a long way, and it is a long way. But obviously is not like, it's not nearly the longest I've ever run or anything. And also not even the longest that I've run without training. Like, I've definitely just like done a spontaneous 10K because someone's been like, should we do a 10K? And I've not really, you know, it's not even like my body's not used to having to do it. It was completely bizarre. And I'm glad that you actually don't think that it's runner's trots, because I'd kind of assumed, because I was like, oh, I must have not left long enough between eating, and I must have not, like, I don't know, because I went at a weird time. Like, I wouldn't normally run after I'd eaten lunch. And if I did, then I would wait till like 5 o'clock or something after I'd finished work and go. So I was like, maybe it's that. And it was making me really nervous to do my next one, to do my next long.
Oh, do you know what? I reckon all those things probably, I think it wouldn't have helped to have eaten sort of and to be running at a weird time of day and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But that, you know, those things are out of the ordinary, aren't they? And so, like, if you run at a normal time after your normal kind of amount of food, it's just not going to. And it just sounds like you had a little stomach thing. Because
I think I had a little mini bug, and maybe running, maybe it would have just been one of those things where you go, oh god, wasn't very nice on the loo for a couple of loo excursions. But maybe it wouldn't have been, maybe it sort of was a vicious cycle, that the running was really not a good move.
It's going to be that. It's not going to be, it doesn't, because I do think that a kind of runner's trots is like, it is you churning up your stomach, and it is churning, you know, and it does have, what you eat obviously has a big effect on what happens to your guts when you're running and stuff like that. And if you have too much fiber, and
I had a roasted vegetable salad.
I think that's not ideal.
Quite sick now that I'm
it's not ideal.
No.
But go back to what it is that you do eat that makes you feel fine when you go for a long run.
Normally it is literally, I mean, actually, did you notice that the Pod Squad was saying on the Discord group Sorry to leave those of you who are not involved out, but those who aren't, get involved.
Get involved.
They were saying that they want It's Porridge Esther on a t-shirt. I do think that should be the new tagline.
It's Porridge Esther.
Yeah. Oh, they've also been talking. I've got to give them a shout out because Blimey.
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about, right?
Tagged. Yeah.
Didn't we get tagged? Yeah.
About the idea of having. Have you heard of Notch? And have you ever had a Notch thing?
I've never had a Notch. I have heard of them. I think I'm pretty sure that they used to have a little stand at the running show because it's such a good idea. But yeah. No, I've never had one. So what are they saying about it?
They were just saying that they really want a women's running, like a Pod Squad themed one, like cut a Pod Squad color. Yeah. I think loads of people use them. I'm gonna look them up here. But I think lots of, because similar to you, I think I've heard of them around just like in the running industry, but I haven't had my own. I think people use them to every company is called Notch.
Oh, okay. But isn't it like it's almost like a charm bracelet sort of thing?
Yeah. So you can like then runner's Pandora.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can get extra ones for like if you have a significant race or you belong to a running club or whatever. It's a nice thing to
exactly to that. Have. Yeah, it looks like such a sweet thing, and they want a Pod Squad one, which would be so adorable. But anyway, I don't know how we organise that. Notch, if you're listening,
sorry,
we'll collab with you. But I don't. I'm not a blacksmith, so I don't know how to.
Among your many talents.
Yeah, blacksmithery.
Ironmongery?
Ironmongery, yeah. It's not one of them.
No, not up there, no.
No.
Oh, hole in your guts, you poor thing. That's
I know,
nice.
So I'm feeling a little like my confidence has been knocked because not only did I have a literally shitty run on Friday as my long run, but then one of my midweek ones yesterday, I was literally like, I'm flying. And I was like, good, this is good. I think I'm actually finally getting what it means. I'm not going to lie, of course, guys, not doing any tempo running or anything like that. But I was like, I think I'm finally getting the meaning of doing easy runs for my long and then doing slightly more thresholdy. I'm not saying that I'm going full pelt for the whole time, but like pushing myself a bit more on the shorter ones. And I was like, this is going to make such a difference to my training. And then looked at my pace and I was like, what the fuck? The only thing is that I hadn't really accounted for, and it still doesn't explain it away because I've done this route many times and done it faster, but I think it's more elevation than I realize.
There you go then.
When I run around the park, yeah, I like running around the park, and then I'm kind of, it feels nice to do that as like a lunchtime shorter run because then I'm staying kind of close to home. So I feel like if something did happen, if someone at work did call me, or if like, then I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm actually in Twerton, or yeah, I'm actually in Bradford-on-Avon or something.
Yeah. You know, that does terrify me, that like, because quite a lot of training runs I've done have been out and backs. And there is a point at which I do get really, really worried, because it has happened to me again around Twerton Fork where I've pulled a calf muscle. And just think, oh, I'm at the furthest point away from where I live, and now I've got to walk all the way back. And it does worry me when I get to the long, like the really long marathon ones, where you're like half a marathon away from home. And you're like, what happens? What if something awful goes wrong at this point? Yeah, and what if I get a phone call? Yeah.
I guess that's where it is useful to have those, like, you know, you can have it set up so that you can be like, Dave to the rescue on your phone or your watch.
Yeah.
So if I did that to Doug, he'd be like, no, that's mean. He does sometimes come and pick me up from things, but generally he's like, nah, you're on your own, mate. I remember calling him once from uni because he had a car in final year of uni, and I was like, I was waiting in the snow for a bus that wasn't coming, and I was like, oh, can you come and get me, because it's literally snowing and I don't know if this bus is going to come. And he was like, I'm kind of in the middle of something. What a snake. He didn't get me. I had to wait for the bus in the snow.
Oh, what a twat. Bad dog. Bad
I know. I know.
Yeah. Oh dear, oh dear.
I should just. I should have. I shouldn't wait for the prince to. What do they say? The damsel rescues herself in this one. That should have been me.
Yeah. You get on your own bus, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, how are you? Because I mean, we've launched into the running bit. We've not done any.
We have. I mean, I could carry on a bit of running, but because I've been.
Go on.
So it's been like a week and a day since Barcelona.
Barcelona.
And I have got back on the running bus. So I went running. My first run was like, oh God, I can't remember now. I think it was Thursday. So I gave myself like 3 days off. And it was horrible, as you can sort of imagine, actually.
Yeah.
I think those first runs back, you just sort of think, like immediately imposter syndrome comes back. It's like, oh, how am I going to run that? How on earth am I going to run that? If 3 miles feels this bad, I don't know. It's like, but I only ran it 4 days ago. And yet, anyway, so it was like, so I've done really bad running. And I mean, like technically, literally, and whatever bad running, because I ran 4 days on the trot, just because I don't know why.
If you wanted
for some reason,
to, then that's fine. As long as you are giving yourself some. Have you run today?
I have, but I didn't run yesterday.
Okay.
But I was kind of like, no kind of great lengths or anything. I was doing like 3 or 4 miles and stuff like that, and it was absolutely fine. But I say it's absolutely fine. Each of them have just felt really, really hard, which is unsurprising. And I have been looking again at my HRV, which I still don't understand. But because it's color-coded, I'm just looking at that bit. And the color-coding isn't great at the moment for me. So I'm having I ended up going backwards for all of last year to see when it dipped and when it rose, and kind of, you know, so it's kind of green when it's good and it's orange and red when it's bad, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it can be affected. So HRV can be affected by sleep, mm-hmm. Stress, water, training, and yeah, sort of about it really. So it kind of, you know, various sort of external
stress. Can it be?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God.
And it can be affected by lack of training. Yeah, I know. It can be affected by lack of training, but it can also be affected by overtraining, right? So you have to find your sweet spot. So I was looking back at the periods of last year, like when I was doing marathons and seeing what it was like afterwards. And yeah, and lo and behold, so like the week after a marathon, it will dip down into kind of the orange and just go, whoa, your HRV, you know, your body is stressed essentially for 3-4 days or whatever. And it takes a little while to climb back up again. But I've not had it like I've had recently. So it really is, it seems to me very clearly hormonally charged.
Yeah.
And it does say perimenopause is a thing that can affect it. But I'm having at the moment 2 weeks of it dipping way below, and then 2 weeks of it going back up again, and then 2 weeks dipping way below. So I'm in the 2 weeks of this shit. It doesn't
feel fair for it to be like half the time shit, half the time good.
I know. Mm-hmm. And I do feel really tired. I do feel really tired. I feel really kind of exhausted, and my sleep isn't. I'm sleeping through fine, but I'm having lots of REM sleep, lots and lots of dreamy stuff.
Yeah,
which always makes you wake up feeling a bit weird, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, my sleep's been shit. I've been also having REM sleep. Did we talk about this on the podcast? It's like it happened like overnight. It's been so weird. I think it's stress, but for the last like month or so, when previously I've been a very good sleeper, like it doesn't take me long to fall asleep, I stay asleep well. Yeah. I've just been like really disturbed in the night, and I keep having anxiety in the night, which is also not like me, because usually my anxiety comes from sort of overthinking, so it tends to happen in the day. It might happen when I'm like falling asleep, but I've been like waking up from really stressful dreams and having sort of chest pains and heart beating and going, oh,
that's horrible.
I know. I would be worried about the chest pains, but it's the fact that they are only in the night and only when I'm very, very anxious that I think probably points to the cause. But
and you have been through what some people might refer to as an episode, haven't you? So it's like it feels like you're recovering, aren't you? So
what, probably from my still nasty, in recovery. Nasty neighbors shouting at us.
Oh, I don't even mean that. I meant just generally from the anxiety.
Well, I have been through an episode, but also for the listener, I was saying to Esther, I will spare all the details because I want a fun conclusion that's silly to the scary pine needle neighbours. But actually, we did have our first confrontation with them the other day where they like banged on our door and shouted at us for making too much noise, and they were really scary. And now I'm really scared of them. And I'm also scared of making any noise in my flat. And I'm scared of, I'm lying there at night scared that he's going to bang on the door again. And Doug woke up twice in the night, like last night, because he thought he heard that banging on the door again. And there was no one there, and he didn't. But like, it's like, that's like freaked us out now. Yeah, so I'm having a genuinely stressful time. I'm hating living with them below us because now it's turned from funny to genuinely I'm quite scared of them because I do think that he could be a psychopath. And he was really screamy and scary for very little cause. So scared of them. And also, obviously, we're moving and it really feels like there's like mounting pressure to get out now, but none of it's within our control because we're just waiting. And so it does feel like there's quite a lot of stress going on at the moment. But
that's a lot of stress. Moving house is a huge stress. It's a huge stress. And you never quite realize how stressed your body has been until you are sitting down in your new living room a few months in and watching TV and just thinking, oh, hang on a minute, Christ, the last few months has been really super stressful. Yeah. It just takes ages. All of it.
The thing I worry about, and sorry, I've completely hijacked your thing about HRV and stuff, but this is a silly anxiety thing, but it sort of speaks to what you were saying about the stress and how it can impact your body and the HRV stuff. That my current thing is trying to calm myself down because I know that stress isn't good for my body, but finding that gives me almost more anxiety because I'm like, oh my God, if I don't calm myself down, I'm going to have a heart attack. And then I get more stressed. Oh, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Oh God. Oh. Well, I mean, one thing I was going to say, like going on from the HRV.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Thing and the stress thing is that one thing I did think when I was running, and I think it was on because we were away at the weekend and I was having a nice kind of away run and enjoying that, and I had a thought because I also had time to kind of check my Garmin Connect quite a lot, and I was checking Strava a lot, and I was checking Instagram, all the running accounts I follow, and I was thinking about the stress. And actually that does feed into like what you were saying. So you've also to compound that stress is to look back at a run that you've done and just to go, oh, bollocks, you know, my pace wasn't the pace I was trying to do. And I'd had two runs, which I'd thought were, well, they're clearly tempo, and they were not clearly tempo. But I've also had like long, what felt like long ploddy, kind of oddly painful runs towards the end. And I've been like, oh, that was oddly painful. And then looked and it will say tempo because my heart rate has been kind of elevated and I can't tell why that is. Anyway, there's all this stuff, right? So I was running around with all this stuff and I was just thinking, right, okay, runs that are bad that feel good, runs that are good that feel bad. Oh, crap, there's all that strength training I'm supposed to be doing. And then I was looking on Instagram and I was looking, there were like three accounts that I follow in a row showing me all the strength training I should be doing as a runner. And one of them was talking about, I think it was concentrating on calf stuff. One of them was doing like all body stuff. One was core, right? And I was looking at all these and I was like, oh Christ, there's like, each of them had like, you know, six or seven swipe acrosses, right? So I was just looking at all these exercises going, oh, but these are all the exercises I'm not doing, right? And I wasn't doing them. All I was doing was exercising my finger and looking at these things and just going, oh, fucking hell. And then there was another one that came up and she, on a video, she was doing a run and on the video, I will come to a point, I promise. As she ran, and it was one of those really nicely put together videos. So again, I was also going, oh bollocks, we should do videos like this. And she was running along and she put up loads of kind of like a list of stuff, which was kind of like stats and things like that. And she'd separated out, you know, her miles per minute and blah, blah, blah. And she'd kind of listed all these things. There was lots and lots and lots of information going down the middle of her post. And she was also running and she was also looking gorgeous at the same time. And I was like, oh my God. And then I looked at Garmin Connect and it was like HRV, and I was looking at my HRV and it was all orange and red. And I was thinking, do you know what? I still don't really understand what HRV is, but this clearly isn't good. What other things can I look on Garmin Connect? And I was looking at other things.
That sounds like you're going into a thought spiral of.
So yeah. It was all like, oh my God, there's all this stuff. So then that the last run that I did at the weekend before today, I went for this little run where there was a nice clear space, right? So I was running on sort of around the coast kind of thing, and it was on a path, and it was sort of, anyway, it meant that I could just blank out noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, and here we are, here's the thing. I just thought, it's the fucking point. Come on, Esther. Jesus Christ. Why can't we make it a bit more simple? And
I have
decided that what we need to campaign for is simple running. That's my campaigning piece today.
I'm because all for that. That sounds like what I do most of the time.
So fucking confused. I'm so fucking confused by what I should be eating, how I should be running.
Yeah.
What my heart rate should be. Whether I should be doing tempo or bass, or whether I should be doing, like, you know, whether I should be doing hill sprints, or whether I should be, like, you know, doing, I'm getting confused between kilometers and miles. I'm getting confused between whether I should be wearing socks over my leggings, because that seems to be a thing now, or whether, like, I should be, like, you know, should I be wearing cotton or not? Wearing cotton, there seems to be a lot of noise about loads of stuff. Loads of people going, do this, do that.
I find it really stressful. Maybe we're culprits. Maybe people listen to this and think, oh bloody hell, they're doing that. I better start doing that. But yeah, I completely agree. I find it really feeds into health anxiety for me. And that was why I stopped wearing a sports watch, because like, I just felt like any anomaly that was coming up was like really freaking me out. Every time it would warn me that my heart rate was too high, but that I felt like I was fine, like that I was pushing myself a normal amount, but it would be like, slow down, you're about to die. And I'd be like, what? And so, yeah, I'm such a fan of either a naked run, or if you do want to measure some things, like, just knowing exactly what they are and keeping it simple. Yeah. No, is it pace? Well, like, is it time on your feet? Is it distance? Is it HRV? Is it like just focus on one or two things that you are focused on tracking?
Exactly.
And do those.
So with your Strava run that was bollocks, that you berated yourself for afterwards, not the poo one.
Yeah. The yesterday one.
The yesterday one.
Yeah.
With that one, did you set out at the beginning to run fast, or did you set out to run a certain distance, or did you set out to run for a certain time?
I think,
or was it something else?
I think it made me, I think I changed my mind halfway through, because I think when I set out, I was like, I think the reason that I'm like, that was a shit run. It actually wasn't. It was quite nice. I think
I set out to run, which is probably because I was going so slowly, but I set out to go, oh, I'm going to do 2 miles. And if I'm feeling amazing, then I'll do 2.5. This is actually even the worst bit, because I was like, if I'm doing really good, then I will do 2.5. But I didn't want to push myself because I'd shat my pants last time. And I was like, I don't want to end up in that situation again, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I'll test the waters and see how I feel. Then felt like I was flying, felt quite good. I mean, it always feels shit at some bits, even if you retrospectively go, oh, it was great. There were still bits where I was like, I can't do this. But in general, it was really good. And then when I looked at my pace, assuming that it was going to be one of my faster runs and saw that it was by far the slowest one I've done in ages, I was like, what? And then I carried on till 2 miles, but then I stopped because I was like, fuck this. So I had set out to do, like, in theory, 2.5 if I was feeling good, which I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I completely changed my mindset halfway through to like, this is going to be a short, sharp push, and I'm going to really go for this because I'm obviously like feeling quick today.
Yeah.
And then looked at my tempo and was like, at my pace, and was like, what the fuck?
So do you think it's probably worth not looking at your pace?
I suppose.
Because I do.
But isn't it so weird that, like, you know, when you feel, mm-hmm. like, I don't know how I could have pushed that any faster and felt okay. Why does that happen some days?
But I don't think, well, firstly, I think you've got technology to blame. I think the fact that you changed your mind midway through a run and decided to go for a different goal, you decided to go for,
I'm going to make it fast.
This is going to be a pace run rather than a distance run.
Yeah, I decided to care, whereas I didn't set out caring. I decided to care halfway through because I was like, I think I'm fast today. Yeah.
So the first one is that it's your fault because you changed the goal, you moved the goalposts.
I moved the goalposts. Guilty.
But also, I mean, I'd like to look into it, but I don't think that Strava is known particularly for having spot-on GPS. So, and you're running round a park, which has got loads of trees. I think there's plenty of times when I look at my watch, which is supposed to have like incredible pin sharp GPS. And if I'm running through London or if I'm running along the canal, it goes haywire. It just, because it should do because there are loads of buildings or there's loads of trees or whatever. So and even when you finish and maybe the pace isn't quite what you're supposed to have done, that might well have been because your body was nutritionally depleted because you'd shat your pants a few days before.
That's true.
It could be because the park actually is on the side of a hill. So you were running upwards, like you said. It could be all those things. But I still think that what we need to try and do is to retain the sense of what we want to go for a run for and keep that purpose. And that's why I brought that run up, because I think that I think we need to talk about running simply, because I do that too. I change the goalposts all the fucking time and it kills me. It's like that time that I tried to do a half marathon and go under 2 hours on the morning of the half marathon.
I know.
Like an idiot. Hadn't trained for it. Just decided
to go for it. But I suppose
it's
because we have taught ourselves to be the kind of runners who are a bit more instinctive. We're not the kind of people to be like, I'm going to get a personal trainer, because, well, not there's anything wrong with it at all, but we're not like, I'm going to get a PT to help me get a sub hour 30 half or whatever. Like, that's just not the kind of running we do. So I suppose that is kind of how it works sometimes, is that it's like, it's the downside to being a bit more of a run to feel person, is that sometimes you're like, I'm feeling like Mo Farah today, or and so living in the land of delusion, you're like, I can do this. But I completely agree. Should we create a hashtag?
It needs a hashtag. Yeah. Run simple,
run free.
Yeah, something like that. Oh no, run free. I fucking hate that. I hate that so much. But I do think that there needs to be a simple running movement, because there is so much noise. And I feel like, for instance, at the moment, I am failing to do strength training, right? And one of the reasons is because I am lazy and can't be asked. The second reason is because there is so much information out there that I literally cannot decide what the fuck to do. Because I think, oh, if I do, it's a bit like when you're trying to choose a yoga thing from Adrienne. And because there are thousands of yoga workouts to choose from, you're like, ooh, what is going to be the best? And you can spend the best part of half an hour scrolling through to figure out what the best one is that you should do. Mm-hmm. And so with strength training, I'm sitting there just going, well, I know I should be doing single leg deadlifts. I know that that's what you should definitely do. But should I be doing it with a weight or without a weight? Should I be standing on a stair? Should I be doing this, that, and the other? Should I be doing calf raises while I brush my teeth, or standing on one leg while I'm brushing my teeth? Should I, you know, there's just like, there's so much. And I feel what I'd really love to do, and it's going to kill women's running completely, because I kind of want to say, go for your run.
I'm feeling vindictive today.
I do feel vindictive. This is terrible, isn't it? Because the whole point of our brand is that we're explaining lots of different things, like, you know, every bloody day over the website, over socials and in the magazine and things, like, you know, try this kind of thing. But in a way, I feel like, what I'd love to do is to distill loads of information and to be able to just sort of say, right, okay, if you're training for a half marathon, right, which we both are, then these are the things you need to do. Let's just have it on like a tiny little card. And these are the four exercises that you should do, and you should do them 3 times a week. And after 3 weeks, get a bigger weight, you know, just nice, simple, here are the things that you do. And this is how far you run.
I think you've done the opposite of kill women's running. I think you've given me an idea for a whole new range of content. Because there are always going to be people who will want the breakdown of what is your VO2 max and what should you be getting and how do you track it and blah, blah, blah. But I think, maybe we need to just do more content that's like, here's how to run a half marathon for dummies. That's basically what we do, though. We do that on this every day.
We do that on this. Maybe what I'm doing is not quite so. Like, I think I'm beginning a revolution, and all I'm doing is repeating what we've been saying for the last 3 years. But it's just like,
it's okay.
It was because I had
have a revolution that just like feels a bit more manageable sometimes.
Yeah. I had such a sense of overwhelm. And I think, you know, the idea of kind of simplifying things, as I was running, I was just like, I felt like I was waving a flag. I was like, this is fucking epic. I mean, I feel like I'm standing on top of a small hill surrounded by women in purple and green and white. And I'm just like, simplify
running.
Throwing
yourselves in front of horses. Yeah.
Again, throwing myself in front of
horses. Yeah, we've done that twice in the last week.
We have. Lots of horse throwing under. It's amazing. All those things, chaining ourselves to buildings and, you know, all that kind of thing. But now I'm talking to you about it. Yeah, it's less a revolution and more a kind of, I mean, just stop looking at Instagram.
It's a slow burn way that we're going to change the running industry. We're getting there. That is what we do. I think we stand for slightly more individual goals rather than being competitive. We stand for our manifesto here.
Maybe we need a manifesto.
We do need a manifesto. Running for yourself, isn't it? And running for you, running for yourself, but as part of a community. And I think that that's what makes our gang really tick. I mean, I guess it's all part of that.
It is part of that. And it's like, you know, when we've talked about nutrition before, and we will talk about nutrition again, nutrition, it's kind of, you know, when, right, because I get this as a journalist, right? That when you're in the middle of being a journalist, when you're kind of in that mindset, you can sometimes read features that people have written and realize that they are journalists too, and they're using language that is journalist language and not people language, right?
Yeah.
And I think the same is true of running. So like, when I'm talking about the journalist analogy, like occasionally I've read features that people have written and they've said, they've said, oh, read the box out on the right-hand side. So box out is language that we'd use for a boxed section in print. But box out, that's such a weird journalistic term, yeah. Right? It's not people language. People language would be, look at the thing on the right-hand side, which is called this, you know, it'll have a name. So it's kind of, in running, like we still talk about nutrition when what we should be talking about, of course, is food, right? And we're still talking about, I still think that, we talk about protein and carbohydrates and fats, but what we're not talking about is yogurt and
oh
pasta.
My God, and, yeah. Because...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Genuinely, if I hadn't had conversations with some nutrition-y people, and I guess if I hadn't discovered more about my own body and how it works, I wouldn't have thought that it was a problem eating a bowl of roasted vegetables before going for a run. I'd be like, that sounds healthy. That sounds like something people would say is a healthy thing to do. Mm. Like, I completely agree that like the jargon allows us all to sound like we know what we're talking about and or like we know what we're reading about, or give people authority and go, oh, that sounds like they know their shit, I'll do what they're doing. But yeah, actually, like, it's cutting out the substance of it, which is like, what am I actually supposed to eat? Protein,
yeah, before,
but what is that like?
Yeah,
the only and thing I think of is dry chicken breasts, and I'm a vegetarian, so
I still
like,
get so confused about protein. Mm. Yeah, exactly. I get super, super confused because like when we talk about protein and when we ask a knowledgeable nutrition to explain protein, they will start talking about the grams of protein you need to eat per kilogram of weight you are. And I haven't weighed myself for 4 years. I sort of know vaguely the ballpark kind of thing, but I also weigh myself in stones and pounds. So there's too many sums to do in order to figure out what the fuck you're talking about. And what I want them to say...
Myself. I don't know how much I weigh. And again, I find that a bit confusing because, like, not that this should be a thing, but so often by my doctor, I'm always told that I need to lose weight. So if I'm eating more because I'm bigger, then that feels like not a thing that I should be doing. It's a minefield.
It is. But all of it, once you're in the health industry, which it turns out we are, it's all a mind. So, but it's like, there's all the running stuff, all the food stuff, all the strength and, stuff. Everything is like our entire lives. And there is so much noise and there are so many people telling us how to do every single section of it. And I feel like we need handy diagrams to cut everything out and to explain when someone says you should, as a 50-year-old woman, be eating this amount of protein. I want to see that in pictorial form, and I want them to say what that means is all these things together is the amount of protein you need to have, which could be, because I have started eating a bit more yogurt, and I'm not even a dairy person, but I have started doing that because I've only just realized that yogurt has protein in it. Didn't before. I was like, well, it's a calcium mound, isn't it? It's not,
yes,
but it is protein. So trying to do things like that, but I still don't know how much I should be eating or how much I'm eating during a day. I don't know if that's better or worse than I've been doing before.
No.
So yeah, we need the simple running thing, the simple...
Yeah, we really do, don't we? We need like a little guide that is just, I would like to read. Let's get it. Let's get it commissioned.
Let's do it.
I feel like it would be, we've had lots of emails.
Oh, yes.
But I've been a classic person and not actually read any of these in advance.
So they could be all awful and they could hate us.
Because we've had a few new ones. Why didn't I do this? Oh, actually, I've remembered something. Sorry, looking at emails that I did want to talk about. This is not an embarrassing story, and we will return to them when I've got my act together and I've read through everybody's. This was something that I wanted to talk about, which was that somebody emailed in about that I thought would be a really interesting discussion point. Sorry, this has been quite a serious episode.
It has been quite serious. I'm so sorry.
But I did like this from Helen.
She emailed in to say, this was after the chat that we had about Strava last week. And actually, if I was a if I was a good broadcaster, then I wouldn't have admitted that I didn't remember what email I was supposed to read this week. And I would have just done this with a nice segue because it works really well. But she said that, so these are her thoughts on Strava. She said, I always block access to my heart rate data because I don't know whether I'll reveal who it is in her life because I don't know whether they listen to the podcast. One of her relatives, I don't want to call her out for calling them out, is who's super fit, always comments on her, will be like, oh, you need to slow down, take it easy, look at your heart rate on her Strava.
Oh my God. Oh, I'd feel so looked at. Oh, I don't like that.
So she blocks that data. She says, I run to feel. If I feel okay, I go a bit faster. If I don't, I slow down. That's exactly what I was meaning about the watch and the way that it goes like, you're going to die. And it's like, but I feel absolutely fine. And it's very confusing sometimes. She says, I also make excuses when I think my run might seem slow and will put comments in, hard day at work, feeling tired. And notice that many people I follow also do this, especially the women.
Yeah.
This was thought provoking for me. Maybe I will try naked running, which is probably what we should call our campaign, at least occasionally, and leave the social stresses at home. That was very thought provoking to me because I realized that I don't do that. But only because it took me ages to work out that you could actually add your own comments on Strava. But I see people do that all the time where they're like, oh, tough one today. Or,
but
like,
there's a whole, isn't there a whole, there's like a massive kind of meme stroke controversy about people's comments on Strava that basically you're always doing it in order to show that you're faster than what's come up on the stats. So you'll say things like, running with Maisie today, and
I have heard of that.
So there's lots of that, of just going, that's why it's not my da-da-da-da. Or tripped up on the corner here, or period, not feeling it, kind of thing.
And it's like, don't run after three glasses of wine night before,
that kind of thing. And it's just to show that they want their stats up there, but they want to kind of make sure that you know that
they can do better.
That
is so interesting. I do think that is a good argument for sometimes doing the naked running, or in my case, I do, just if you want to know for your personal reasons, like, I do get a bit caught up on pace and I shouldn't, but genuinely I'm just trying to measure my distances at the moment, and so Strava, because I haven't got a watch at the most, Strava is the easiest thing that I can do that with. But yeah, I just hide them because then I'm not tempted to. I still quite like, and I'd forgotten because I did my last round of half marathon training by time, so I didn't use any like thing like that. I did forget how nice it is to be like, you've run 16 miles in the last 10 days or whatever. That's like, I had forgotten what that's like, which is really nice. But so I quite like having some of that data stored, but it's for me to look over. And sometimes I might send a screenshot to Esther or Doug or somebody if I'm feeling particularly smug. But
Do you pay for Strava?
No. Do you?
No. No, I did for about a year. I did, because you do get lots of extra bits and pieces, and I think they've now taken off quite a few things that used to be free as well. So you do get loads more, but I suggest that you don't.
No, I like to know the bare min.
Yeah,
I like to bare min it on there, and that is what was my pace? How long did it take me? How far did I go? And then maybe cumulatively, I quite like the way. Well, see, okay, no, we're really getting into it on this episode. I was about to say, I do quite like the way, because when it works in your favor, it does feel like quite a nice boost. If it's like, because last week I got a thing that was like, trending faster, your last three runs have been cumulatively faster or whatever. And that felt really good. And then, but then that did mean that when I dipped back down for the first time yesterday it was a much slower run than my previous ones, I was like, what the hell? How come I'm not trending faster anymore? And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I guess one thing I was thinking is, you know, Strava gives you the little awards where you get like little
trophies,
trophy things for your best effort or whatever. I do like that it breaks it down so that you get them regularly. So it'll be like best effort on diagonal path down through park or whatever, which is quite nice. But I hate that the only thing that it does that for is your speed. Like, can they think of anything else? Like, that's the furthest you've ever gone. To be fair, they might do that. I can't remember.
They do that. Yes, they do.
Okay, they do that. Okay, fair play. Glad that they do that. Love Strava, and we're really out here supporting them. But is there something else that can be, because you can't be constantly running the furthest you've ever run, or you can't be constantly running the fastest you've ever run. And it is, even if you're keeping that data to yourself and it's just for your personal, like, even if you're sharing it, which I would also like to say there's nothing wrong with if that helps you. But is there a way that it can't be used to either be competitive with yourself or with other people? Because that the speed thing particularly feels like it literally automatically plugs you into a leaderboard for all of that stuff.
I know. I am beginning to think about
Susan Jones, who can do that diagonal down through park in like 56 seconds or something. Like, it's not going to happen.
I am actually thinking about taking myself off that. I mean, I don't even check Strava often enough for it to make me feel that shit, but it's just that when I do, like, and those personal record things, I quite like them when they came in, but I've completely cocked up. And there was there was one stretch which is on the way back home, and it's coming up a very steep hill, and my personal record on that steep hill was when I drove home from a run and forgot to take my Garmin off. Right. So that my personal record is something like 1 minute and 2 seconds. Right.
So you're never going to beat it. A bit like me going through the two tunnels.
I'm never going to beat it. Yeah, I know. I was not trying to cheat. I literally just forgot to press the button on my Garmin.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous because my next one is like 7 minutes or something.
I know. Like, that's why I'm gutted about my little records. Luckily, those records, like, it's only the only ones it seems to affect is like 2 mile and below. And generally the records that I care about just for myself, just again keeping like, not to try and beat them all the time, but just keeping like a bit of a base idea about what feels like my kind of speed so I can keep to a general pace, are 5k, 10k, half. And luckily it doesn't seem like any of those have been affected by the two tunnel Bermuda Triangle. But yeah, it is gutting because it's like, well, I'm never going to run a fucking mile in 4 minutes or whatever, like Eric Little. And now it thinks I've done that, it's gonna be impossible. I know.
I can't believe you've mentioned Eric Little on the podcast.
I know. I can't believe we haven't mentioned Eric Little before.
Yeah. This is true. Although I do think you might be thinking, are you not thinking of Roger Bannister?
Oh yeah, I am actually. Eric Little's Chariots of Fire, isn't he?
It's like, I love them both because they're both the kind of people that would, yeah, a man of God, Eric Little.
That's why I was thinking of, yeah. I'm going to have to end this podcast episode very unceremoniously because I've got a meeting.
Yeah, it's got a meeting. I bet it's a really boring one as well.
It's not going to really be about boring. No offense if they're listening. I know.
They won't know it's coming out in a few days. Yeah. Affiliates. God.
I doubt we'll look to our pod, but
Have lots of fun and try and persuade them to do simple running, and we'll try and do something with that hashtag in the next few days if anyone agrees with us.
Hashtag.
Everyone probably hates it though, don't they? They were like, love my stats.
I know. Yeah. Well, some people do, and it's no shade to them. But if you're a hashtag run simple, which we're really trying to make take off.
Although it does make it just sound as though we're a bit stupid, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does actually. And it sounds worse, like we're being a bit derogatory about people who might be a bit stupid. Okay, we'll go away and work on it.
We'll workshop it. Yeah, okay.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we'd love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.